Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is Numbers 27, 1 through 11. Listen to the word of the Lord. Then the daughters of Zelophehad came forward. Zelophehad was son of Hepher, son of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, son of Joseph, a member of the Manassite clans. The names of his daughters were Malah, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. They stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders, and all the congregation at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and they said, "Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among the company of those who gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died for his own sin, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be taken away from his clan because he had no son? Give to us a possession among our father's brother." Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "The daughters of Zelophehad are right in what they are saying. You shall indeed let them possess an inheritance among their father's brothers, and pass the inheritance of their father on to them. You shall say also to the Israelites, 'If a man dies and has no sons, then you shall pass his inheritance on to his daughter. If he has no daughter, then you shall give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to his father's brothers. And if his father has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to the nearest kinsman of his clan, and he shall possess it. It shall be for the Israelites a statute and ordinance, as the Lord commanded Moses.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. Second grader Connor was given the deliciously irresistible Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, also known as my favorite candy, while I was given the powdery Make My Mouth Dry Smarties, also known as my least favorite candy. You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. Molly's name was drawn to be the star student of the week, even though I have been waiting all week to be the star student. Now, Ashton, you get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. This short saying was one of the phrases I used quite frequently as a kid. I remember this being something almost all of us elementary kids said to one another during school. Not only would I say this to classmates, but I would also say this to myself when things didn't seem fair. For some reason, the phrase made the unfairness of our little lives seem a little more doable. What if there are times in our lives when we need to throw a fit? I'm not talking a toddler tantrum, rolling around on the floor fit. I'm talking about using our voices to seek justice in our communities. The scripture we just read shows us a story of five daughters who spoke up when they realized the situation they were in was not fair. What they were given, or shall we say, not given, was not fair. My first introduction to the daughters of Zelophehad was when Pastor Nicole and I taught the kids this passage during faith formation 3 Sundays ago. I was shocked I hadn't heard this powerful story before. As someone who grew up in the Presbyterian Church, how had I gone 26 years without hearing this story? One reason could be the shocking fact this Numbers passage cannot be found in the majority of, if not all, children's Bibles. This was a hard reality Nicole and I quickly found out during our teaching. When it came time for the children to open their Bibles to the story for the day, we were scrambling around to find it. The story was nowhere to be found. Nicole and I did our best reenacting the story, and while I'm not sure how I did being all five daughters, we made do with what we had. Another reason could be the fact this story is also not in the Revised Common Lectionary, which is a 3-year-long cycle of scripture readings for each Sunday. 25 denominations, including the PCUSA, follow this lectionary when choosing scripture passages each week. Having this story non-existent in both children's Bibles and lectionaries is even more shocking, considering how big of a deal it is to have 5 women named in a single story. Only 49 women are named in the Bible. There are plenty of women without names, including, but not limited to, Pharaoh's daughter in Exodus 2, the Levite's concubine in Judges 19, the Samaritan woman in John 4, and the Canaanite woman in Matthew 15. But only 49 women were thought to be special enough for the writers to name. Think about that for a moment. Malah, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah represent approximately 10% of the women named in the Bible. And yet, this story doesn't find itself in children's Bibles or lectionaries. Quite an unfair situation for a story all about fairness. It's important to note how vulnerable Zelophehad's daughters were in this story. They had no father, no brothers, no closely related protectors, and no land. All things that women needed to be considered protected. While we don't know the specific ages of the daughters, it is assumed they were probably quite young. Women married at a much younger age during this time. Since none of the daughters were married, we can assume they were in their teens or early young adulthood. Demanding inheritance was a battle of life or death for them. As much as I wished women's vulnerability, especially when it comes to safety, were a thing of the past, we still see this today. According to the United Nations Population Fund, 1 in 3 women around the world will experience gender-based violence in their lifetime. Gender-based violence is any harmful act committed to an individual based on their gender. Said acts can be sexual, physical, mental, and economical. Today's technology reminds us of the staggering threat women still face. I can't tell you how many videos I see almost daily of women bravely sharing their experience of being a victim of gender-based violence, or the informative videos teaching women how to be aware of their surroundings. From a very young age, girls have been conditioned by society to know what to look out for or what not to do in order to avoid encountering stranger danger. We are told to lock our cars when we get out to pump gas, avoid walking alone when it's dark, share a location when we go on a date, cover our drinks to avoid being drugged, and so much more. These are all things the majority of boys don't ever, and will never, have to think about on a daily basis. I'm sure the 5 daughters were aware of their vulnerable state, which could have been one thing that led them to stand up for what wasn't right. They didn't let their age or vulnerability stop them from fighting for what they believe. They pleaded their case in the entrance of the tent of meeting, which is a sacred public space. Not only did they bring their injustice to a public space, they also brought it to the tribe's highest authorities, Moses, the high priest Eleazar, the chief leaders of Israel, and the whole congregation. They went straight to the source of where they knew change could happen. They knew exactly what they were doing. They wanted something radical to take place. We see them mention both their father's death and the fact they didn't have any brothers twice. They didn't ask for charity. They asked for their father's lawful inheritance, something any son would have asked for. They asked for justice. They were throwing a holy fit. All 5 daughters saw the injustices they were facing, along with all other women in their shoes, and decided to take a stand. They demanded change to occur. This is a holy fit. Mahsa Amini was a 22-year-old Kurdish woman who was detained by the morality police in Iran on September 13, 2022, for allegedly wearing her hijab improperly. According to a BBC article, she fell into a coma after collapsing at a detention center and died 3 days later. There were reports that officers beat her on the head with a baton and banged her head against a vehicle, but the police denied that she was mistreated and said she suffered a heart attack. Iranian women ripped off their hijabs in solidarity during Mahsa's funeral, which was the start of the quickly spreading protests. These protests have evolved into one of the most serious challenges to the Islamic Republic since the 1979 revolution. Women are at the forefront of these protests. They've been waving their headscarves, setting them on fire, and even cutting their hair in public. Not only are adults protesting, but schoolgirls have also been demonstrating their support in playgrounds and on the street. Iranian adults and children alike are throwing holy fits for justice. God grants the five daughters what they ask for by saying they are right and should be granted the inheritance of their father. In God's eyes, women are just as valuable as men and should be taken care of and treated well. That is justice. Theologian Delorious Williams says, God became an advocate for the sisters. Social and legal systems often have to be transformed, with God's help, in order for justice to happen for women. The social and legal systems didn't just change for the five daughters. They changed for all women, which meant the monumental event affected everyone. Women could give back to their communities because they didn't have to constantly worry about their survival. How can we be bold like Zelophehad's daughters? While they didn't appear to be afraid to speak up, I can imagine they were scared. Here are five young women speaking in front of the adult men in their culture who make monumental decisions for all. It would make sense why they would be internally freaking out a little when asking for change to occur, but they didn't let that fear stop them. They used that small flame of fear to help fuel their action for justice. What would that look like if we did the same? This semester, during my final year at Union Presbyterian Seminary, I'm taking a course titled Proclaiming Justice in the Church and Public Square. Our professor asked us at the very start of the semester what justice issue we are passionate about. Each student picked an issue to focus on for the entire semester. I chose gender-based violence, while other students chose the safety and justice of LGBTQ children, food insecurity, accessibility to religious space for LGBTQ community, and menstrual injustice. As we go about our ways this day, I urge you to think about the injustices that you feel passionate about. Be like Malah, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah by throwing a holy fit. Amen.